But God's able. And I think I'm preaching on a subject tonight that's needed in all of us, every one of us. And so I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms, chapter 85. Amen. Psalms, chapter number 85. Amen. When you find that, let's stand together as we read our text together tonight. And I hope the Lord will give me the unction, the liberty I need to preach. If you don't, we'll just back off and try her again at a later time. Psalm 85 and verse number 1. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto Thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of Thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all Thy wrath. Thou hast turned Thyself from the fierceness of Thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause Thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt Thou be angry with us forever? Wilt Thou draw out Thine anger to all generations? Wilt Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? Show us Thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us Thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto the people and to the saints. But let them not turn again to folly. I won't get there, but that's a tremendous word. That's a tremendous verse in the Bible. God said, I will show mercy and speak peace to My people. But let them not turn again to folly. Don't let them. Don't go back and do what I've corrected you for. Surely His salvation is nigh them that fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before Him, and shall set us in the way of His steps. May the Lord add His blessing to that reading of Scripture tonight. Our Heavenly Father, I'm thankful, Lord, for the songs that we've enjoyed this evening. Thank You for Thy people that are here in the house of God. I pray for Your divine help tonight, Lord, in a special way. I pray that You'll provide grace. I pray, Lord, that You'll show mercy. I pray that You'll give power to preach the Word of God and hearts to understand what's said. I pray that You'll open up our hearts, help us to receive with all readiness of mind the engrafted Word of God. I pray that You'll move upon our spirits and help us, Lord, in this service tonight. Help me to magnify the precious name of the Son of God. I ask You to do great things for every family, every person that's here tonight. Revive us again that we might rejoice in Thee. And I'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I'm sure you know already what verse of Scripture I'm going to be preaching from tonight. A theme that has been on my heart since probably 1980, probably 25 years now. Amen. That is the thought of revival. And I want to preach tonight on this thought and try to get into the message as quickly as possible. And but the psalmist said here, "Will Thou not revive us again, that Thy people may rejoice in Thee?" And I want to preach tonight on the kind of revival that we need. The kind of revival that we need. Now, by way of introduction, I simply want to say that the writing of this particular psalm has really kind of thrown Brother Hall for a loop. Because at first glance, he speaks about returning or bringing back the captivity of Jacob. And when I read that, I think about the Babylonian captivity and how they were carried away in the last days of the Chronicles and the Kings into Babylon, into captivity. Amen. And the psalm would lead us to believe that it's during this period of time that the psalm was written. But if the psalm is that of David, David lived some years before the Babylonian captivity ever took place. But if it was written by David, I'm not going to stand here and say that God could not have prophetically spoke to David and had David to pen this in looking toward the return of that captivity. At any rate, they had been in captivity and God had turned them and brought them again, showing them favor and forgiveness. And the psalmist here is praying that God would send revival to the people of God. Amen. Now, the word revival, I looked it up, and the word revive or revive in the Old Testament is used in the same way or means the very same thing every time that it's used, regardless of what passage of Scripture it's in. And it simply means to quicken. It simply means to live or to make alive. And I do believe that we could all understand the fact that we need revival. We need quickened. We need to be made alive. We need once again to stand revived in the presence of our God. In our spirit and in our soul. We talk about having revival in the church and thank God for revival of the church. But I don't know after I prayed and thought that a church per se can have revival. But I want to say that your spirit can be revived. And if God revived the spirits of His people, then we can say on that in that light that we can have a church revival. And you'd have to agree with me tonight, our spirit's mighty low. And it does need a bit of reviving. But there's three words that I want to deal with by way of introduction that the word revive means in a broad sense. If you look at it in a little broader sense, it means, number one, to repair. Revival is a time to repair. For the people of God to repair that which has been broken down. And I think about that, and I get that thought from the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was one of the captives in Babylon that came back to the city of Jerusalem, and he came back to repair the walls. Amen. He had gotten word in Babylon that the walls had been broken down and the gates had been burned with fire, and the people that were there were in great reproach from their adversaries that was in the land. And God called Nehemiah back to repair that wall, to repair the breaches where the wall had been broken down. And one of his adversaries, and I know I'm right here, because one of his adversaries in chapter number 4 and verse number 2 makes this statement. He said, "Will they revive the stones out of the rubbish that are burned?" In other words, that adversary saw the walls that had been burned, and to him it was no more than a pile of rubbish. But through the eye of God and the power of the Holy Ghost, God looked down and saw a work that could be repaired. I want to say tonight that there's no wall broken down in your life nor in the house of God that God Almighty cannot repair. Amen. A lot of folks tonight may look around and think, "Well, we're like the walls. We're a pile of rubbish." But I want to say, ladies and gentlemen, if you dig to the bottom of the rubbish in our lives, you'll find that the foundation is still there. Yes. And if the foundation is still there, we're able to build again on that foundation. Yes. We're able to repair the walls. Oh, yes, we're able to have revival wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? And I don't know what it may be in your life that needs repair, but I'm telling you, when revival comes, we'll have to repair some areas of our personal life that has been broken down. I want to say number two, that word also means recover. Recover. And I think of Jacob in Genesis 45. That Jacob had fainted in spirit. And I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, he had been faint-hearted for a number of years. Jacob thought that his son Joseph had been killed and was dead. And like a normal human being, I'll be honest, it got to the spirit of Jacob, until he grew very perplexed, very distressed in heart, and there came a time when he literally fainted and lost his whole spirit. But when his boys came back from down there and made this statement, when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. I want to say again tonight, some of you in here need to get a fresh look at the wagons. I told you the other night what that word means. It means a revolving circle. And you're not always, a wheel is not always on the bottom. There comes a time when that wheel will get on the top, and we're not always going to be on the bottom. Whoever wrote Psalm 85 apparently saw themselves on the bottom, like Jacob saw himself on the bottom and cried out, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Yeah. Now, we're not always going to be on the bottom. I'm going to tell you, when old Jacob saw them wagons, his spirit came again and he revived. In other words, he recovered in spirit. He recovered in spirit. I think of a man by the name of Samson. And Samson, in chapter 15 of Judges, had been in a great battle. He had fought the Philistines and slew 1,000 of them, for all you dignified folk, with the jawbone of a donkey. The Bible said he slew them with the jawbone of an ass, for all you undignified folk. I'm trying to get somebody's attention. Amen. Come on now. Help me. Come on now. But he had slew 1,000 Philistines with that jawbone. And he cast the jawbone aside and realized that he was athirst. And the Bible said that God, clave a place in the hollow place in that was in that jawbone, and there came water thereout. And when he had drank of that water, the Bible said his spirit came again and he revived. There was a man that was battle weary. A man that was in battle fatigue, and his spirit had fainted within him. But one drink of the water that God clave in that jawbone, and the Bible said his spirit came again, and he revived. I'm going to tell you what we need in here tonight is a good drink of the Word of God. Hallelujah. Just a good drink. Just a cool drink of water from a far country, ladies and gentlemen, is all it would take to revive us that we might rejoice in God one more time. Hallelujah. Then there's another word. Not only repair and recover, but there's another word that revive means, and that is restore. Restore. I think of the widow's son in 1 Kings 17. She had fed Elijah and sustained Elijah. And that widow's son fell grievously ill and died, really, literally died. And she told Elijah about it. And old Elijah went into that upper room, spread himself out upon that boy, and prayed. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah. And the soul of that child, the Bible said, came again, and he revived. In other words, God restored the life that was there. Now, I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we're dead, but we ain't that dead. We're dry, but we're not as dry as what Samson was. We're faint-hearted, but we're not as faint-hearted as what Jacob was. And if God revived Jacob, and God revived the walls, and if God revived Samson, and if God revived the widow's son, God is able, ladies and gentlemen, to revive Island Ford Baptist Church. I'm confident of that. God's still on the throne. The question is, do you want revival? Do you want God? Do you really want Him? I've heard preachers get up and preach, well, the problem in most churches is the pastor, he's riding on Easy Street and don't want revival. You're looking at one pastor that wants revival. I give a Houdini flip about Easy Street. I want to see God filling this place and filling you up and blessing you and helping you and reviving you and giving you grace to walk in victory in your spiritual life. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on in the house. Now, there was a couple of things that had to take place in this psalm before revival could come. Number one, it's God's favor. God's favor. He said in verse 1, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. And I want to say, hey, revival, ladies and gentlemen, like regeneration, takes the favor and the grace of God. If anybody has revival, you or me or anybody else, it's going to be because God shows us favor. I'm going to be honest with you, the way that we have conducted ourselves, God ought to cut us off and send everyone in here to hell. Amen. God, help us tonight. Lord, have we searched our heart? Do we know what we're doing? Come on in the house. Might as well get plain. Do we really know tonight where we're living? Do we know that? Do you realize that we're tearing the very heart out of Almighty God tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with our conduct and our ways? Amen. Come on in the house. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you that our attitude is grieving the heart of God. And it's grieved the Spirit of God in this place tonight. But I'm going to preach. I won't say what I started to say. I got in trouble saying that one. I'm going to preach tonight if it makes the boogeyman mad. Amen. That is right. God's favor. Amen. And then God's forgiveness. Said in verse 2, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all of their sin. Hey, sin's going to have to be dealt with. Amen. Come on in the house. Before we ever have revival, sin is going to have to be dealt with. Now I want you to hear what I'm telling you. If you've got a critical attitude toward me, my wife, or any other member of this church, you can forget revival. You might talk about revival. You might brag about how much you want revival. But if your attitude is not right with your brothers and sisters in Christ, you can forget having revival, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Jerome. We think that adultery and watching television, going to ball games and getting naked is the only sin there is. My God, may the Lord open up our heart and let us get a good look at the inside of where we're living tonight. Amen.
Amen.
It's a heart problem.
Yes,
we'll have revival when we deal with the heart.
Yes.
And those sins that are prevalent within our heart, whatever they may be. Man, I could name millions of them. Come on in the house.
Right.
Hallelujah. Now, what kind of a revival do we need? We need a revival of holy fire. I have to talk all this talk, but we're going through it. We need a revival of holy fire.
Amen.
I think about Moses in Exodus chapter number 3. When an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush, and he looked, and behold, the bush burned, burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And in verse 5 of that chapter, When Moses drawed aside to see what was going on in that bush, God spoke to him and said, "Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground." Now I want everybody to listen to what I'm saying. What made that ground holy, ladies and gentlemen, was the fire in the bush. That bush didn't have one thing holy about it. It was the fire in the bush. That bush represents the sinner. That bush represented Moses. But that fire represented the fire of God burning in that sinner's life. Now I'm here to tell you, if we ever needed a revival of holy fire within our heart, it's the hour that we're living in tonight. God wants to set a holy fire ablaze in all of us. And I'm going to tell you, he's trying to, these young people. Now, a holy fire. That fire, a holy fire, will produce warmth for the heart. Ain't nobody in here not a little chilly, are you? Come on, the house, you know I'm telling it right. Ain't nobody in here not a little cold in the heart. I'm telling you, if we had been so cold-hearted, when them young people was singing and pouring their heart out a while ago, we'd have been up and down these aisles like wild men and women. I cannot understand my life. People whose children want to do right for God, and the parents don't seem to want to let them do right for God. Amen. That's right. Produces a warmth in the heart. You know, we just fall in love with Jesus. Our hearts get warm toward our Lord. To love the Lord thy God with all our heart, mind, body, and soul. Fall in love with one another. Pray ye one for another. Hey, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Hey, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. I wonder if folks tonight would judge us, disciples of Christ, by the love that we show for one another in this church. Hey, he didn't say by your good haircut. He didn't say by your long dress, ma'am. Amen. He said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one for another." How many of you want me to bring Elliot back down here and let him preach on murder in the house of God again? Amen. For if you hate your brother, you are a murderer, is what that Bible says. How many's pulled the trigger today? How many murders we had in Island Ford Baptist Church this afternoon? Apparently somebody got shot. Apparently the whole crowd got shot. Dead we are. Come on now, I'm trying to help you. Amen. Amen. How much love we got for one another? He said a new commandment in John's gospel. A new commandment I write unto you. That you love one another as Christ hath loved you, even so love one another.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, we need a holy fire burning to heat that love up. Love is not braggadocious. Love envieth not. Love is not puffed up. Love does not brag about itself. Amen. Love is long-suffering. Come on in the house. If we love folk, we'll suffer long with them and the problems they have in life. Amen. But you know, the biggest problem is most folk want the pastor to suffer with them, long with them. They don't want to suffer too long with the preacher. God forbid. He's flesh like you are. Come on in the house now. Love for the sinners. We need a holy fire that will produce warmth in the heart for the Savior, the saint, and the sinner. I want to say number two, we need a holy fire that will purge the sin out of our life. The bush, amen, the bush, ladies and gentlemen, represents the sinner and the fire, the holiness of God, and that fire is there to purge the sin out of our life. I'm trying. No sin in my life, preacher. I know better. You realize the sin of omission is just as bad as the sin of commission.
Amen.
Things that we fail to do is just as important and just as much sin as things that we do do.
Amen.
Ain't that right?
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
It'll purge that sin out. Hey, bitterness. Gossip. And I started to say something I don't know whether I ought to or not. But I really believe that there's some folks in here been gossiping.
Amen.
And I can tell you who they are.
Amen,
Amen. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
It might shock you. You know how I know? Because all of them got the same attitude toward me. Amen, preacher.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Jesus is good.
Yes.
Heaven's great. Amen. Ain't it wonderful to be in the house of God? I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God. Amen. That fire produces warmth in the heart. That fire will purge sin from our life. I want you to get a hold of this. That fire will prevail over the devil's hiding place. We need a holy fire to get the devil riled up. Somebody said, you afraid of making somebody mad? I hope if you're in sin that I do make you mad.
Amen.
Somebody said, where do you get that word from? Acts 28 and verse 3. Old Paul lit on the island of Miletus and he gathered together a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire. And the Bible said there came a viper out of the fire and fastened on his hand. But in verse 5, he shook that venomous beast off into the fire and felt no harm. Now I'm telling you, get a fire built up, church. Somebody said, why can't we get right with God? Hey, if you help me build a fire in here, I'm telling you that the devil will stick his head up, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
And there's only one way to get rid of the devil. Let him stick his head up, shake him off in the fire, and go on for God.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, there ain't none here. God be one everywhere.
Amen.
That's right. Snakes don't like heat.
Amen.
That's right. That's why when we crank it up in here, some of y'all can't tolerate it.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Get fired up a little in here. Some of y'all can't tolerate it.
Yes.
Amen. Hey, don't want the fire to burn too bright. Don't worry. There's enough wet blankets to put her out, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Praise God, we need a revival tonight. Well, thou not revive us again, thy people may rejoice. And if it means stirring up the devil, make the devil mad, let him get mad.
Amen.
Amen. You know what Brother Nolan says, don't you? Flip a rock out in a pack of dogs, one barks, one got hit.
Amen.
So if you bark after tonight, I'm going to know you got hit. Come on, the house. We need a revival of holy fire.
Yes,
sir. I want to say, secondly, we need a revival of holy faith.
Yes, sir.
Of holy faith. Listen carefully. Ain't no need of me quoting verses on faith. I've quoted every verse on faith to this congregation 100 times. The just shall live by faith.
Amen.
Faith substance things hoped for and evidence of things not seen.
Yes.
I mean, I've went over and over and over. For by grace are you saved through faith. I went over and over and over. But here's what I do want to say about faith. A person can operate on feelings for a little while, but I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, when time comes, when they must live by faith, amen, they're going to reveal themselves if they're running on feelings rather than faith.
Amen.
Now I want to say to you right there, it's easy to get wrapped up in the church and get a little tinkling running up and down your back. And it not mean absolutely nothing spiritually. I've heard them step up and say, "Woo, I feel good." Well, praise God. I'm glad I feel good, but feelings ain't faith.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, you can run on emotion for a while. But when a robber hits the road, you're going to have some faith in the promises of that mouth in order to live for God from then on out. When adversity comes, or when the flesh knocks or the devil knocks, you're going to have some faith in your risen Lord in order to make it, ladies and gentlemen. Feelings won't get the job done. Now listen carefully. I said this up Brother Nolan's, and he said amen to it, and then I felt bad after I said what I said secondly. So don't nobody say amen on the first half of this. Feelings cannot produce faith. He said amen. I said, well, here goes the second half of that statement. But faith will produce feelings.
Amen.
Feelings, hey! We need a revival of holy faith. Where we're not running on our feelings. We're not up and down. See, we're down from what we was this morning. Every time something contrary happens to some of you, you fall off the railroad track. Amen. We ought to get on a level plane, on an even plane, and go on with God regardless of the troubles and trials that come our way.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Then y'all make me sweat when I preach. I'm going to say that again. Feelings cannot produce faith. But faith can produce feelings. Now I want to show you something. Somebody said, what feelings? I want to ask something. Can you feel love? Sure you can feel love. How do you think you know you love a woman or a man if you can't feel something? There is an affection in there.
Amen
to God. Yes, there's an affection there. And I'm telling you, if you love the Lord and love the sinner and love the saint, there will be a feeling there that faith will produce for them.
Amen.
Anybody listening? I want to ask you this. Do you think joy? Do you think joy can be felt? Amen.
Amen.
It's tickled my heart tonight when Jerome got up and got on his feet and got to moving.
Yeah.
I've never seen a man jump like him. I'm talking about a big man. And he can come to his feet quicker than any man I've ever seen in my life. I followed him off this platform last Sunday morning. My knees buckled right there. I said, Lord, I ain't doing that no more. I'm telling you, my joy, I almost got a real feeling out of my joy. It's called a skinned head. There ain't one no skinned head out of the mess. No! Absolutely not. But I'm telling you that the faith that I have produces a joy in my life that can be felt, ladies and gentlemen. There's a joy. Why, hey, there's a joy unspeakable and full of glory. If you can't feel joy, pray tell me, why did the Bible say that there's a joy that's so rich that it's beyond your speaking about? Sure there is. Lord, revive us with a holy fire. Revive us with a holy faith. Help us to feel the love for the Savior. Help us to feel the love for one another. Help us to feel the joy that we have in being saved by the grace of God. Why ain't you jumping now, bless your heart?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Trying to.
Amen.
I want to ask you this. Can you feel peace? Now, peace cannot bring faith. But faith can produce peace. Faith can produce peace. Peace. Now you got me tongue-tied. See what y'all have done to me tonight. You've about ruined me. Here I come in here and tell you, intend to help you, and you've about ruined me. Get me all tongue-tied. But hey, do you think you can feel peace?
Amen.
I know you can.
Amen.
You think you can feel goodness?
Amen.
Gentleness?
Amen.
Meekness?
Amen.
Temperance?
Amen.
Sure you can.
Amen.
Because it is the fruit of the Holy Ghost, ladies and gentlemen. that faith produces in us. Amen. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against us, there is no law. And I'm telling you, all nine of them, you can feel them. And bless your heart, you can smell them. They blossom. Hallelujah. Turn on your spiritual nose and inhale a little bit. Glory to God. I'm glad I've got a salvation I can feel in my soul. Amen.
Yes,
amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Now,
what about this revival of a holy faith? The faith of a grain of mustard seed does what? Moves mountains.
Amen.
Moves mountains.
Amen.
I want to say that that kind of faith will move the mountains of Bether. Somebody said, preacher, you went off the deep end. That word means division. Song of Solomon 2:17, until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn my beloved and be like a roar, a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, hey, our faith as a grain of mustard seed can move the mountains of division. I'm telling you right now that there's a problem in our church and a problem in some of our lives that is like a dividing line that is separated between us and our God, and it's called S-I-N.
Amen.
Your sin and your iniquity have separated between you and your God. There's a cleavage there, a division there.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, your faith can overcome that mountain. Are you hearing me? Amen. There might even be a division between some Christian brothers or sisters. But I'm telling you, the same faith that can walk across the mountain of division and unite you again with Christ can also overcome that mountain that is separated between brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen, ladies and gentlemen.
Amen.
That faith will bring you over that mountain.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something else. Another mountain faith can overcome. The mountain of bewilderness.
Amen.
I believe there's a mountain of bewilderness that some of you got, you're bewildered in life. You act like you don't know which way to turn. It's like Brother Nolan, you say you don't know whether you're washing or hanging out. Don't know if you're pitching or catching.
Amen.
Bewildered. Now I must be quite honest. There's times in my own life when I get bewildered about things that are going on, and you just can't seem to get a handle on it. I tell you right, Brother Troy, there's things going on in my own personal life, and there's things going on in the house of God that I just cannot seem to get a handle on. And there's times when I get just a little bewildered and vexed about what's going on.
Amen.
And knowing that I've tried all I can do to help what I think the problem is, and doesn't seem like any help comes. And I'm wondering, Lord, have I not got on the problem? Surely I ain't been in the flesh all these times, Lord. Surely I've had to put my hand on the problem somewhere along the line, Lord. But when that problem don't seem to want to budge, I'm telling you, when that mountain don't seem to want to move out of the way, I'm just as bewildered, ladies and gentlemen, as I always was. And I'm just being honest with you. If I had to save my soul, myself, out of hell tonight by telling this church that I know exactly what the problem is in this church, I'm afraid I'd have to die and burn in hell. For some reason, God is... He hadn't told me. And I do believe there will be times when God won't tell a man.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep aiming at where I think it's at and keep pulling the trigger and shooting.
Amen.
And hope I hit the right target.
Three.
Amen. As long as I'm not in the flesh, it'll be all right. I'm going to tell you another mountain. The grain of mustard seed will move. Bitterness.
Right.
Like Esau. A bitterness sprung up in Esau and defiled him, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, if you let bitterness, an angry spirit, a bitter heart, bitter spirit, if you harbor that thing, oh yes, and pet that thing, One of these days, it'll spring up, it'll shoot up, and it'll defile many.
Amen.
I want you to hear me well. It's a root of bitterness.
Amen.
The last time I looked at trees, you don't see too many of the roots.
Good.
And I've almost come to the conclusion that it's got to be bitterness is one of our problems. Because you can't, it's buried. The problem is.
Right.
Come on in the house now.
Yes, sir.
I want to say thirdly, we need a revival. Not only of a holy fire and a holy faith, but we need a revival of a holy fight.
Amen.
Will thou not revive us again, Lord thy? People may rejoice in thee. I'm telling you what we need is some of you that know God and know that your name's written in heaven is to stand up and take courage and fight against the problem that is plaguing you in the house of God.
Yes.
My God, we're not possums.
Amen.
We're warriors of the faith.
Amen.
We've got the armor of God. Let's put it on.
Amen.
Praise God, let's fight. I think of a little old man by the name of David. They went out to fight against a giant by the name of Goliath.
Yes, sir.
When all Israel had buried their face in the sand and was afraid to fight.
Amen.
Here comes a little old ruddy-faced young boy by the name of David to the forefront of the battle and was willing to go against a giant that was a good three times his size. Probably was. Goliath over 9 feet tall.
Amen.
It had been awful short to have been three times higher than him, wouldn't it? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Is anybody getting anything? You know why David was fighting? David said in verse 29 of chapter number 17, David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" There was a cause. There was a giant that was defying the armies of Israel. There was a giant that was cursing the armies of Israel. There is a giant that was blaspheming the God of Israel. And David said, "Is there not a cause? I'm sick and tired of this bully running over the top of my people. Aren't you a little tired of the bully running over everybody?"
Amen.
God, help us.
Amen.
Amen. Is there not a cause? The enemies of God had blasphemed the Lord and were triumphing over God's people. David said, "I'm sick and tired of the enemy winning the battle.
Right.
Time to fight."
Amen. Yes, sir.
It's not time to dig in and hold your ground, Brother Doug. It's time to get out of the foxhole.
Yes.
It's time to get the bayonet on that rifle, get the scabbard off the bayonet, and set in after the enemy and conquer the enemy that we might have revival, that your children, ladies and gentlemen, might experience the power of God.
Amen.
One more time.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
The cause. Think your children are worth fighting for? Now, I want to say something to y'all right here. Now, I don't want nobody to take offense at this. There's some of you men in here. I want to say again, there's some of you men in here. Some of you men. That if a man cursed you, you'd be ready to knock his block off. Right or wrong? If a man smacked your wife in the face, you'd be ready to take his head off. If a man spit on one of your children, you'd be ready to take his head off for that. And pray tell me, why on earth do we want to lay down and play dead when the devil or when sin, whatever it is doing to our people exactly the same thing spiritually? And we're not willing to fight for it. Not willing to take a stand. Is there not a cause? You'll either perk up, or I know what I'll do. I'll take them girls to the house with me. You'll perk up, or I'll take them home with me too. And if Steve President don't like it, I'll go over and get them five. Big to talk, ain't it? Papa, ain't it, kid? Tell him. Hallelujah. I want to ask you, is there not a cause? While our enemy, whoever it may be, sin, Satan, flesh, whatever it may be, blasphemes us,
amen,
curses us to the face, that's exactly what Goliath said. Curse your God! And we want to lay down like a possum. Oh no, folks, let's fight.
Amen.
You're Kentucky hillbillies.
Amen.
I forget where we was at the other night. Over, I guess at Brother Nolan's, one of the little kids in there wanted to kick their shoes off. Brother Nolan said, leave them shoes on. You're never taking them shoes off in the house of God. I said, Brother Nolan, you wouldn't make it over to our place. I said, that's redneck country over there. I said, church is over, and about 20 of them got their shoes, not only their shoes, their socks. Miss Hall said, and they go outside barefooted in the wintertime. What I'm saying is, we're not city slickers.
Amen.
We're country bumpkins that's got a little bit of fight in us. And bless the Lord, it is time that we stood up and fought against the crowd. Amen. The devil, flesh, sin, whoever they are, that's doing their best to destroy you and your family.
Amen.
I won't say the cause, but what about the clash? There had to be the battle. They had to clash, friend. I bet that giant thought he'd have blood and guts all over everything. Amen.
Amen.
He said, what am I, a dead dog and a flea that you come out after me? My dead dog that you come out here after me? He said, come on to me. I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. Oh, he talked big. But little old David said in the clash, here's why. He didn't say, David said, you're coming at me. You're coming at me with a shield and a sword and a spear. David said, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, buckwheat. Oh, I'm telling you, David went out to meet that man. Amen. He went into the battle, I'm telling you, with five smooth stones, ladies and gentlemen, and a little old shepherd's bag, and glory to God, one stone's all it took.
Yeah.
Five smooth stones out of the running water.
Yeah.
The Holy Ghost had run over that word and had it real smooth in the hand of David.
Yeah.
Now I'm telling you, the devil with one, hey, amen, just one smooth stone between his eyes, and that's all it took. The Holy Ghost power hit him and it was over. I'm telling you, if the Holy Ghost power will ever put its finger on our problem, it's done. The clash. Then I see the courage. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied.
Amen.
And I believe when he cranked that stone in that little old sling and turned it loose, that big helmet come down in Goliath's head, and that big sharp point come down his nose, I believe God with an invisible finger just went. Bye-bye.
Amen.
David didn't even have a sword. He had to take Goliath's own sword and cut his head off.
Yes, sir.
Now, I got to use this. Brother Steve let two of them deer walk right by him yesterday. And he come over where I was at and said, I was over behind a tree saying, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that crowd wasn't in their ditch looking at David saying, shoot him, shoot him, shoot him. Why didn't you shoot him? Why didn't they shoot him? No courage. Now, I'm not saying Brother Stephen didn't have courage. He's killed a lot of deer. That crowd didn't have any courage. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the New Testament, be strong, quit you like men.
Amen.
You've got to have some spiritual courage about you.
Amen.
To face these problems, face your battles, face the hard times, whatever is plaguing you in your life, face that thing. Don't broadside it. It'll capsize you. Head on that problem.
That's right.
One more and I'm done. I don't have any points under it. We need a revival of holy fear.
Amen.
I'm amazed, Brother Billy, at how people, so-called safe folk, can live and have absolutely no fear of God putting His hand on their life.
Amen.
I'm telling you what.
Yes, sir.
There ought to be a holy fear about us, ladies and gentlemen. You realize it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God?
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, and you say, well, preacher, you've been preaching this a long time. I have, and I'll keep on preaching it because it's true. If God ever sets fire to your barley field, it'll burn to the ground.
Amen.
It'll never be put out. If God burns at your stump, that stump is going to burn out.
Amen.
There ain't no putting out the fire.
Right.
And God knows how. God knows exactly where your barley field is at tonight.
Right.
And God knows where my barley field is at tonight.
Amen.
And He is well able. I mean, I can get, and I'm not saying I have not got up. I get upset for them, human too. Sometimes I'd like to grab some of you and spank you. But I'm telling you, I know sooner than I get wrong until I get right. Because I'm going to tell you something. I fear God, folks.
Amen.
All you got to do is reach out with them little scissors and say that little golden string that's shooting air into your lungs and go... That's it. That's all she wrote.
Yes, sir.
And it's dangerous. We need a revival of holy fear. These little old boys are running up and down the road with these things in their truck. Back when it's fear of this. I'm going to tell you who they better fear. Don't fear God. Don't fear man that can destroy the body. Has no power to destroy the soul. And I'm going to tell you, you better fear God who has the power to destroy both body and soul in hell. And we need a revival of holy fear in America.
Amen.
I wonder what would happen in some of our churches if God started doing like He did in Acts 5 to Ananias and Sapphira.
Amen.
When they lied to God, there was no space of repentance.
Amen.
And Peter didn't even call the undertaker. They just carried him out one at a time and buried him.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what happened. And great fear fell on all the people of God.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you sometime, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying God will. I'm not a prophet. But I'm telling you, I have heard preachers preach of God putting His hand in a church that refuses godly counsel. And when God puts His hand in, I'm telling you, it'll bring fear to the hearts of people. Because you can't, that's an enemy you have no power to fight. To try to fight against God would be as foolish as stepping out on a railroad track trying to stop a freight train running 100 miles an hour. You ain't going to stop God.
Amen.
God will not stop you from doing what you want to do.
Right.
But you ain't going to stop God from doing what God wants to do either.
Amen.
I'm honest. This altar ought to fill up tonight.
Amen.
And say, Lord, I want revival.
Amen.
I want the blessings of God here. I want the power of God on my life.
Amen.
I want thoroughly right in my own life. I'm praying that way. Lord, make me thoroughly right.
Amen.
Will Thou not revive us again that Thy people may rejoice in Thee? How long has it been since some of you really come to church and rejoiced?
Amen.
And it don't have to be boisterous. I've seen people rejoice and do nothing but sit and cry.
Amen.
And be as happy as a lark, buddy. Eat up with joy, just sit and weep. I've seen others lift their hand. I've seen some run. Everybody don't act like Brother Hall acts. But I'm telling you, there will be some joy bells ringing.
Amen.
God sends revival. Let's stand together.